Well, good evening. Welcome back. Good to see you tonight. We got a lot covered last week, I thought, and we'll do some more tonight, answer some questions, explain some things. I'll show you different study shortcuts and different things. You'll learn a lot of things that I do in my study, the way I think, the way I put ideas together. It might even scare you to see how scatterbrained I am when I'm putting ideas together and thinking about different things. But then I want to show some more Logos Bible software shortcuts, some things there that I find useful. And then as well, things with PowerPoint, Microsoft Word. Much of last week was spent doing outlines, and I hope that was useful. I know I use outlines constantly, and it's helpful if you can get the software to cooperate and work with you instead of against you, instead of changing all your points, things like that. We'll try to make some and also show you how you carry it across to PowerPoint and kind of force it to do things there too in PowerPoint. Not always easy, but I'll just show you how I learned how to do it, and maybe that'll be a helpful benefit to you as well. Also, macros. I want to show you how to make a macro and how to do things. If you find that you're doing them all the time, then make a macro out of it and save yourself some time. And we'll highlight that as well. So a lot to cover, and we'll see how far we get with it, Lord willing and rapture pending. I'll go ahead and open in prayer. I don't mind praying for this. Father, thank you for tonight. And we're not studying the Bible at this session, but we are studying the tools through which we teach the Bible. Thank you for making these things available. If they help in communication, we want to use them. If they don't help, we don't want to use them. But thank you for the tools that you've blessed us with that allow us to teach the Bible to your children. I do thank you, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right. Last week we did outlines. We did a lot with Microsoft Word, and I'll show you a few more things. There's some new features, and I know Lewis uses it, and I don't know if, Doug, if you found these things yet, but it's called Visual Copy. Have you done visual copies? I'll show you how to do a visual copy. So you open up a Bible text, and hey, here's Daniel 9:24. This is where I am with the teenagers now in Daniel chapter 9. And so, okay, well, yeah, I want to put that verse in my notes, and I want to put it in PowerPoint or whatever like that. Well, there's a couple things you can do. I mean, if you want, you can just right-click here and select the verse, Daniel 9:24. And if you want, you can copy Daniel 9:24, just like cut and paste, right? Just like copy and paste. You can come over here to Microsoft Word, and if you want to paste it, you can paste it. And there it is. All right? Daniel 9:24, NASB, and there's your text, and there it is. Does it have a footnote? No, it doesn't have a footnote. I've deselected certain options in my program tools just because I don't like a lot of the, I don't find it necessary to, and you can do as you please on this, but text display, format, if I'm cutting and pasting, I don't really care to include all of the, here we go, copy citations, copy footnotes. I put those as no and no, all right? But if you want them, you can have them. You can copy the citations. You can copy the footnotes. So
what happens sometimes on copy is it puts everything the same height as the footnotes.
Right. Yeah, I don't like it. That's why I turn them off. But if you have them turned on, then you come over here and you do the same thing. You're going to copy Daniel 9:24, and you come in here and you're going to paste it. Now you pasted it, and it should include. Oops, it didn't. It should include the citation and the footnotes. So anyway, I'm going to leave that with off. Yeah, that's a setting I don't usually use. Now, instead of copy-paste, come over here, and instead of copy, do a visual copy. This is a new feature. Just started in 5 and carried over into 6. The visual copy is interesting. This gives you some basic verse formats like this. Some of them are, a lot of the verses have artwork attached to them. They've got some custom drawings. Daniel 9:24 doesn't happen to be one of those. But if you don't like that color background, all right, you can do purple. You can just go through this whole gallery of different styles and different colors, and just find what you like, okay? And here too, if you decide you want that one, all right? Whichever one you want to do, if you want, you can copy that, and then you can paste it. You can paste it in Word. Even better, though, you can paste it in PowerPoint. But if you paste it in Word, it shows up like that, all right? And so now you got a little miniature slide in your Word document and whatever. And, okay, you might like that. You may not need that in your Word document, in your paper notes. But one thing you can do, though, instead of copy, you can come here and say send to and send it to PowerPoint. And when you send it to PowerPoint, it's going to automatically push it over there, and you'll have it in your PowerPoint presentation. And there it is. It just makes a slide, and it puts it there at the end of your slideshow. So whatever you have open as an active slideshow, it'll just add a slide to your end of your slideshow and put your graphic right there. So this is useful if you want to fill your slideshow with a lot of Bible verses. That's an easy way to do it. Use the visual copy feature in Logos and then send it to PowerPoint. Send it to PowerPoint. Now, we'll have to talk about different things that we're going to do in PowerPoint to make use out of that slide. But that's a good way to get your verses out of Logos and put them in PowerPoint. And then you don't have to switch back and forth between Logos and PowerPoint. You can just leave it up on PowerPoint and have your slideshow display the verses just like that. So anyway, that's a feature in Logos called Visual Copy. And you can get to it from the right-click menu, Visual Copy, just like that. And you can try different verses. Different verses will have different... Some of them, like I say, will have pictures, they'll have artwork. It just depends on the verse. And some of them I know and I don't know. Isaiah 40, 31 maybe. Mount up with wings like eagles. So if I want to visual copy that verse, I think that, yeah, see, this is one that's got some artwork. And so if you want to use that slide, you can do that slide instead. And these are just kind of pre-custom slides that have been done by Faith Life. The Faith Life Corporation decided to create some slides, things like that. Use them if you like them. Don't use them if you don't like them. I know Lewis has used a ton of them. And some of them are kind of corny, you know, and they do goofy things with how they present. Yeah, some of them are tough. What was that? Some are hard to read. That's right. Some are hard to read. You know, I mean, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. That's big, but the words above there and below there, you know, if you send that to PowerPoint, it'll think about it. It'll do it. I don't know why it takes 2 or 3 seconds, but there it is. Okay. Well, that may not be as readable. They who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Kind of small. So some of them are fun. Some of them are not so fun. Just depends on what you're doing. All right. Anyway, that's the visual copy tool. And I have come to like it in different ways. Go to... let's just do some outlines and some things. I'll show you some other features. Let's just pick a verse. Doug, you got a favorite verse? First John 3. The whole chapter? 13 through 16. All right. First John 3, 13 through 16. So here we go. And what happened there? I don't know what happened there. Okay, close that. All right. So do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. We know we've passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Oh, yeah, here's a great passage. All right, 13 through 16. All right. So let's say we're going to take this and we're going to put it in my Word document. We're going to start outlining. We're going to start making points of study. All right, based upon this. Do not be surprised, brethren. All right? And so as I work through here, I'm looking at some key words. I'm looking at some different things. Maybe I want to also open up a Greek text while I'm at it. Put them there in side-by-side panels. All right? All right, so me, thalmadze, thalmadzeta, adelphoi. Okay, I'm looking at these things. So let's start with a passage guide, maybe. And, I'm going to select all of them, not just that one. 13 through 16. Let's grab the whole thing. 13 through 16. All right. Now, we'll do a passage guide. Do you use your passage guide a lot? Yeah, quite a bit. Put a passage in there. It'll start to do research for you. It'll start to compile a list of resources. It takes a few moments, so let it work. Go get a cup of coffee or whatever. Sit there and relax. It'll then open up your commentaries. It'll open up your journals. I've got a kind of a customized list here. I was reading that they're going to start to modify some of these things. People are complaining that they're getting too many commentary results, and so they're going to give you options to, okay, well, then only show me three commentaries or whatever. I don't mind having a long list of commentaries there. But journals, that's one of the newest additions, one of the new features there, adding journals to your passage guide. Cross-references, so here's your treasury of Scripture knowledge and your cross-references for those verses. Ancient literature, the church fathers. When was this passage ever quoted? Well, here you see some places where it's quoted. So that's useful. By Josephus and Philo and some other topics that relate. Systematic theologies that reference this, that can be useful. You might expect here, okay, well, this is dealing with love and abiding in Christ and not being surprised. So you can expect that there's some systematic theologies that address that. By the way, you can sort this either by subject or by resource. Breaks down your systematic theologies into different denominations. So you can find Geisler and Schaefer here in the non-denominational systematic theologies, right? So you're not worried about Anglican or Medieval or Baptist or any of those kind of things. Anyway, so your passage guide is useful. Your theologies artwork. So passage guide is useful. You may find there's some of this stuff, and hey, yeah. And it doesn't really, some of it's useful, some of it's less useful for your own understanding of the text. But when it comes to illustrating the text and throwing a picture in their slideshow and other things like that you want to kind of jazz up your slideshow, this is a good place to find some artwork, to find some things that relate aspects there. Find some hymns that maybe touch upon 1 John chapter 3. So in the music selection, you've got 6 songs from the hymn and scripture selection guide, Logos Hymnal Media Resources, the Steve Green MIDI Hymnal, plus some topics. Now, obviously, some of these may be more obvious or less obvious just based upon the verse. Obviously, love, hate, the world, life, death, murder. I mean, there's different themes there. You can list it as a list, or you can list it as a cloud. And if you're visual, you might like the cloud view instead of the list view. Some of these I find are, you know. And so the more significant it is, the more significant the software thinks it is, assurance gets pretty large there, life, love of Christ, you know, and then you get some smaller ones. And that's just kind of, the software did that based upon who knows what. Okay? So I prefer to leave it on a list basis instead of a cloud basis. I'm going to pick my own topics. I'm going to pick what I'm convicted by, thinking, you know what? I want to deal with life and death. I want to deal with hate, love and hate. I want to deal with a murderer, laying down our lives for the brethren. I mean, if the real issue here is how we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, I want to camp on that verse. Jesus laid down his life for us. We ought to be willing to do the same thing. All right? So that's what I want to preach on. Anyway, different aspects there. So we come to our Word document, and I'll go ahead and delete that. Don't need that right now. And so I'm going to prepare a message. This is going to be whatever. Let's say I've got a, I'm going to do a message on laying down my life. All right? And I'm going to head that as heading number one. How did I do that? Ooh, there's a good shortcut. Control-Alt-1. And I don't even think about these anymore. I just do them. They're also on the toolbar. If you look up to the top there in the toolbar, it's heading number one. All right. There's also heading number two. You can do a Control-Alt-2. Heading number three is Control-Alt-3. All right. I'm going to leave it as heading number one, Control-Alt-1. And there's probably an equivalent thing on the Mac. Okay. There's my heading. And my outline, I'll do, see what it just did there? Introduction and definitions. Two, okay, three. I'll do a development. And I'll do a conclusion. But it's not outlining like I like. Why is it not doing that? Well, yeah, all I did was I just started typing, and it's going with its basic default. I don't want to do my basic default. So I'm going to select the whole thing, right? I'm going to come up to the top of this at the beginning, and I'm going to hold down the shift key and arrow down, arrow down, arrow down. I'm going to select all that text, and I'm going to come up here, and I'm going to select, yeah, I don't want to do this current list. I want to come down to my list library. And here's the one I did the other day, right? This is one we did a week ago, right? And they're still there because I remember I saved them to my library. I saved them there, so added it to my gallery. So let's pick that one. Now I'm happier, all right? And I'm going to do some other things too. If this passage is my let's say I want to start with some definitions. I'll do some, because I want the development, I want to come from 1 John 3:13 through 16. So I may decide I'm going to use a different passage for my introduction. I'll use a different passage to kind of introduce the idea, because I want to say 1 John is basically the meat of my study, right? And then if you have an A, what do you got to have? You got to have a B. Yep. All right. If you remember that from last week. If you have an A, you got to have a B. All right. Tab, A, B, C. And I'll probably do, I don't know, I may do something with verse 13. I may do something with verse 14, something with verse 15. Okay. Right now, I'm not even studying. Right now, I'm just kind of charting out where I think the class is going to go. All right. And that's not carved in stone. I can change it later on. I'm just kind of giving myself a framework, giving myself kind of a rough outline that I can study with. And then it may turn into something resembling this, may turn into the outline that I teach from. All right? And then in my conclusion, I may want to go to the Gospels, and I want to find a Jesus passage. All right? And that's just a note to myself. Find Jesus passage. Because it said in verse 13, he laid down his life for the brethren. So it's all about Jesus. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So I want to, whatever passage I decide or whatever I use for my introduction, and I'm going to use something else for my conclusion, and then it's going to kind of come together in a little study that I'm putting together for a family devotion or a Wednesday night Bible class or whatever else. So here's a little study on laying down my life. All right? And it's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a ton of work from 1 John 3 and from other passages. See, so this is where, again, in the passage guide, it will be useful. I know Lewis likes to use a lot of these cross references. Let me go back up here to the top. We got a lot of cross references here that basically come out of the treasury of scripture knowledge and the new treasury of scripture knowledge. And so we got some cross references, and probably in here I'm going to find those Jesus verses I'm looking for about love and about laying down your life. In fact, I'm just going to limit this here to 1 John 3:16. That's the main one I'm going for. And we find John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, and one lay down his life for his friends. Or John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Or Philippians 2:7, this is where Paul says he's laying down his life. All right. Anyway, so there's some references there. Here's some Old Testament passages. Here's Isaiah 53, willing to lay down his life for the sheep, and aspects there. Anyway, you're going to like the cross-reference panel in the passage guide tool, because it helps you find a lot of connecting passages, see. So, yeah, just keep that in your mind as well. Let me talk about, I'm putting a study together. I'm getting my notes together. I've got an introduction here, and I want to introduce it with, God is love. God also hates. Okay, concepts like that, concepts that are found in 1 John, concepts that are useful for introducing the idea. All right, I'm going to want to find some verses to go into there, and I can help find some of those. Okay, but I need to put a parenthesis in here and put some verses in here. I don't know what the verses are yet, but I'm going to put some verses there. So a lot of times what I want to do is that. I want to just leave myself a little two parentheses placeholder where I know before this outline is finished, I got to put some verses there. I can't just make something up and not back it up with Scripture. I got to put some verses there. God is love. Does the Bible say God is love anywhere? Right, 1 John 4. I mean, is God love somewhere? Okay, I'm going to find that. I'm going to put that in there. I'm going to go back and flesh out the details on this. But this little tool, I constantly do. I do way too many times. Okay, and let me also say, I'm going to change my font here to Cardo. Control Shift F brings up your font dialog. And I'm going to change this from Times New Roman to Cardo, from Calibri to Cardo. I don't want 11 point, I want 12 point. 12 point, okay? And this is a quirk in Microsoft Word, and I understand why they do it. I think it's a bit bizarre, all right? But for now, go ahead and change both the complex scripts and the Latin text. You shouldn't have to do both, but I think you will appreciate it if you do both. So make them both Cardo. It's my favorite font in the universe. You can get it for Mac. You can get it for Windows. The Cardo font is very useful. You won't have to switch back and forth between fonts if you're typing in Greek or you're typing in Hebrew or you're typing with a Latin alphabet. All right? And don't be scared by Latin text. The English language uses the Latin alphabet. Okay? And so when you're typing in English, you're typing with a Latin alphabet. But Cardo is a marvelous font that includes all the Latin characters, the Greek characters, the Hebrew characters. It is called Cardo Fonts for Scholars. It's very worthwhile. If you don't have it yet, get it tonight. Make use of it. So I use Cardo in all my notes. I'll come down here and click OK. And so now I've got Cardo. Also, I got larger text, so it's a little bit easier for me to read. Also, you'll note my one Roman numerals, they also switched to Cardo. All right, my A's and B's, they also switched to Cardo, and that's just Microsoft Word keeping your outline consistent with the text that you're typing. All right, so I'm working on my outline. I'm putting my notes together. I want to put extra verses in. I want to put some verses in. Right now, it's kind of verse empty. All right. But this is something I'm going to do 1,000 times. I'm going to do 10,000 times. How many times am I going to come to the end of a line like God is love, and I'm going to put a space and an open parenthesis and a closed parenthesis, and then I'm going to back up two spaces to highlight it? You know how to do that? All right, hold down basically, if you have the cursor there, you hold the shift button, and then you back arrow, left arrow, right? Left arrow, left arrow. So now I've highlighted that. I want to make that a little bit smaller. I want to come up here, make it 10 point instead of 12 point. All right. And then I want to take it off of Cardo and make it Times New Roman instead of Cardo. All right. Now if I left arrow, right arrow, now I'm inside the parentheses, and you'll note that on the toolbar here, I'm in Times New Roman 10-point font. Okay? Now, you don't have to do this. I make extra work for myself only because I like it. And visually, my eye has learned to see it like this. And so I'm going to have, 1 John 4. I'm going to put a bunch of love verses in here. I'm going to put, what's your favorite love verse? Do you have some other verses? Right. So, and this is love. Yeah, 1 John 4:10. That he loved us and sent his son to be our propitiation. Let's just find some other verses with God and love. God is love. Man, there's 175 verses. All right. By this we know that we love God, the children of God. Yeah. Let's start with the phrase, God is love. 1 John 4:8 and 1 John 4:16. The one who does not love does not know God. God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us. Verse 10, we had verse 16. There we go. God is love. The one who abides in love abides in God. So, yeah, those work. Let's add verse 8 and verse 16 to that. Come back to here and do 4, 8, 10, 16 verses like that. Okay? And God also hates. And we want to do the same thing. Now, we're going to do this 30 times in this document. We're going to do it 100 times in the next month. We're going to do it 1,000 times in the next year. So we got to speed up the process. We got to speed up the process. I'm not going to do a space, an open parentheses, a closed parentheses, hold down the shift key, go back two spaces, come up to my toolbar, change it to Times New Romans, come over here, change it to 10-point. All right. It's just we gotta speed that up. I don't have all day. Besides, this is just detail stuff. The real thing I want to do is I want to keep locking in on God as love. I want to keep the scriptures in my mind. I don't want to get lost in the software where I'm losing my study. I'm losing my point. All right. So here's how we're gonna do it. We're gonna do this one more time, and it will hopefully be the last time we ever do it. All right, and this is the thing called macros. Have you ever done a macro? You ever heard of a macro? Heard of it? Haven't done it. All right. It's on your toolbar under View, the View tab, where you've got File, Home, Insert, Page Layout, Reference, Mailings, Review, View, Add-ins. Now, I'm using Word 2010. It might be slightly different if you're using Word 2007 or Word 2013 or Office 365, whatever the version is, or if you're using a Mac. Whatever. I'm just going to show you how I know how to do it based on the version of Office that I'm using. And if they hide the menu somewhere else, you'll just have to find it with the help menu. But in my version of Word, it's on the View menu. And it's over here on the macro button. And as I hover the toolbar or the mouse over that button, it also tells me Alt F8 is a keyboard shortcut. Alt F8. So that might be a better way. I can stay here on the home toolbar, and if I'm going to make a macro here, I'll just do an Alt F8, and there we go. It's brought up my macro window. It's done the same thing that it would have done if I had to come up here to View and clicked on macro there. It just brings up this macro box, all right? So either way, I'm going to leave it there. Just because I like keyboard shortcuts, I'm going to do an Alt F8, and here's my macro. All right, I'm going to call this macro Scripture, or let's call it Bible Verses. And you can't put a space in there. I don't know why. All right? I don't know why. There's a technical programming reason for it. It won't let you put a space in there. So just do Bible Verses, no space, all one word, Bible Verses, capital B, capital V. All right? And I want to save it in all active templates and documents. So that way, I will always have this macro. Anytime I'm using Microsoft Word, anytime in all my documents, in all my templates, in everything I'm doing. Now, there will be people telling you, no, don't do that, but I find it useful. If you only want to do it in the current document you're working on, you can limit it to there, all right? But I want to put it in everything. So I'm going to put my Bible verses macro in all active templates and documents. And then for description, I'm going to say, this is my parentheses shortcut for listing Bible verses. All right? Just a little reminder to myself, that's what this macro is all about. Bible verses, all right? And now I'm going to create. All right. Now, as it goes to create, I did not want to get here. Ooh, this is good, but I didn't want to get here. I want to record a new one without coming here. This uses Microsoft Visual Basic, and I don't like this. So let me exit that. All right. Well, let's try this again. Run, step into, edit, create, delete, organizer. I'm sorry. I thought that if I just did create, that was going to do what I wanted to do. But it doesn't. Step into. Nope, don't want to step into. Okay. Well, let me go to the help menu. This is worth, I don't mind searching. I want to record new macro. Record or run. All right, here we go. Creating and running a macro. Record. I want to record. So this is the thing. I've done this years ago, and now I got to remember how to do it. Record a macro. Ah, okay. On the View tab, Macros, click the arrow by the macros, and then click Record Macro. Do one of the following. Begin recording. Create a button. I'll do that next. To a button in the Quick Access Toolbar. I don't want to do that, but I'm going to do a keyboard shortcut. Okay, so that's what I did wrong. Let's come back to here. Exit that. Here we go. So, View Menu, Macros. A little carrot there. Here we go. Record macro. Let's do that. Record macro. So don't click the macro button. Click that little carrot underneath it. That gives you an option to view or to record. Now we're going to record. So let me delete that other one. I'm going to delete this one. I'll make a new one. I want to call it Bible verses. All right, here we go. So macros. Record macro. All right, here we go. Record macro. This is what we want to do. And this is the one I'm going to call Bible verses. And I'm going to assign it to a keyboard. All right. And right now the cursor is clicking here at the press new shortcut key. All right. And my favorite, this is how I do it. I do a Control Shift 9. All right. And all that is an open parenthesis, right? Shift 9 is an open parenthesis. So if I do Control Shift 9, this is going to be my keyboard shortcut now for this new Bible versus macro. Control Shift or Control open parenthesis, right? Control Shift 9. And you'll also notice that it is currently assigned to unassigned. This is going to really help you out if you're in danger of copying something or ruining something that's already there, right? Like if I wanted to do a Control V, it's going to say, well, wait a minute. Control V, that's your paste shortcut. You don't want to ruin your paste shortcut, do you? right? You know, go, oh yeah, I don't want to do that. Control C. Oh no, that's copy. Oh, I don't want to do that. Let's see. And so you start to find the ones that are unassigned, like Control Shift 9. It's unassigned. And I look at that and I say, okay, that's unassigned. I'm not going to mess one of my other shortcuts. I want to just do this, right? So it's unassigned. And that's what I want to do. So Control Shift 9. And then I'm going to assign that. All right. It's assigned. And now I click Close. I think I click Close here. And now we're ready to record. You'll note that there's a little tape recorder, a little cassette tape icon there, right? You're recording. Right now you're recording. And what are you recording? You're recording your macro. You're recording your shortcut. Everything you do with your mouse, everything you do with your keyboard, everything you do until you stop recording. So I'm going to do what we just did before. I'm going to put a space in there. I'm going to do an open parentheses, a close parentheses. I'm going to hold the shift key and arrow left a couple of spaces. All right. I'm going to come up here to my menu and change it to Times New Roman 10 point. All right. And then I'm going to click in the middle of that. Let's see. I'm going to do a left arrow, right arrow. So I put my cursor in the middle. All right. And then I'm going to stop my recording. So back to view, macro, stop recording. All right. So I've just made a macro. And it's called Bible Verses. And it's connected to Control Shift 9. All right. So now I come down here, and here's my first brilliant point, right? And my first brilliant point says so, first brilliant point. But I want to attach some scriptures to first brilliant point. And so where's my cursor? It's right there, ready to go. I do a Control Shift 9, boom. You see that? Isn't that beautiful? And all I'm doing, I recorded all those little steps, and there it is. All right, I'm going to use this over and over and over again because I want to put Bible verses there. I want to put Bible verses there, right? Bible verses there, and every time it's just a simple matter of Control Shift 9, and it drops the parentheses in there. Not only does it do that, but it repositions my cursor, so now I'm ready to start typing, you know, Romans 8:28 or whatever. I'm ready to start putting Bible verses in there. And it puts it in there. It's already, you'll notice, it's already in Times New Roman 10 point. Times New Roman 10 point font. It's because that's what I told it to do with a macro. All right? And this, by the way, is now saved. So even if I start a new document, and here's now my second document. All right, and I'm going to say, I cannot lose my salvation. All right, Control Shift 9, there it is. All right, and what's happened here, it has saved that keyboard shortcut macro in your normal .dot template file, but basically that's the file that it uses anytime you're making a new Word document. All right, and so here you have it. Now, by the way, if you send that Word document to a friend, by default, our Office will not include those macros, because some macros can be viruses, some macros can be dangerous. All right. So typically, when you save the file, it does not save the macro inside the document. So that's why if I send files across from my desktop to my laptop, I can open the document, I can read it, I can print it, I can do whatever. But I don't have the macros embedded in the document. That's why I had to just make a new macro just now. All right? So there we have it. You think that's useful? I think it's very useful. I'm constantly doing that. And so, that's one of the biggest time savers right there is my Bible verse macro. I just get to that point and I say, you know what? I need some more verses here. I don't have any verses here. Let's... got to put some verses there, okay? Control-Shift-9, and there it is. I'm ready to start listing verses. So, that's fun. All right. Good. Okay. Covered that. Now, as far as we learned how to do the outlines here in Word, PowerPoint has a similar feature. It doesn't work nearly as well. And customizing it, I don't typically customize it. I just force it to do what I want it to do in PowerPoint. So I'll show you an example of that here. Let me find a document. Let me close all of these. Don't save. Don't save. Let me open a document that I have in... I should have brought one from home so that I have one available. Let me come to Galatians. Introductory material. Here we go. Old and New Covenants. That'll work. Let's just open this one up. All right. Here's a good document. And it's outlined the way I like it. I got my Roman numerals. I got my letters. I got my numbers. Everything here looks great. I want to make this a PowerPoint slideshow. All right? I want to make this a PowerPoint slideshow. How do I make that a PowerPoint slideshow? Well, a couple of ways. Ways that you're supposed to do it, and I don't know how to do that. So the way that I do it. At some point, maybe, I can take a course and learn how to do it. Because there's supposed to be a way that you can export this and send it to PowerPoint. And you send it to PowerPoint, it'll make your slideshow for you. I have never found that to work. It's never worked well. I've never liked it. And I've constantly found it a useless export utility. And in fact, I think it's so useless that they stopped including it in later versions of Word. So I can send to save as a PDF. I can send it as an XPS. I can send it as an attachment. I don't even see now where they allow you to export it to PowerPoint. Yeah, I don't even see that as a possibility. Word document. No, I don't even see where. Yeah. So good. I'm glad they gave up on that. Manually now. We're going to start copying. We're going to start making a PowerPoint slideshow. All right. Open up PowerPoint. Make a new one. Control N. Here we go. All right. Now, depending on what you want to do, depending on where you are, you can spend hours and hours working on your design, right? Okay, and I know Lewis has played with this. I've seen his slides. I've seen different things. You start looking, ooh, okay, that's kind of boring. That's kind of boring. That's kind of boring. Ooh, that puts a bar on the right. Ooh, that gets colorful. Maybe I want to do that. All right. Ooh. You know, I like the darker ones, but whatever. I mean, let's be honest. We're here to communicate doctrine. You know, we're here to get the points across, to preach the word, to feed the sheep. If they are coming to Austin Bible Church for my gee whiz PowerPoint slideshows, I feel sorry for them. All right. So some of these. Some of them are very hard to read. And until you learn what the template is all about and what some of them, I think you're better off just creating one of your own. I think you're a lot better off creating one of your own. I tend to do custom ones of all my own, all right, just based on what you find that works. Because some of these, I mean, they just, yeah, there's some gee whiz values, but for what we're doing, I don't like any of them. So I stay there. And I get off of the design tab. Now, I may create a template of my own and save it and then add it to my gallery so it's available next time. All right. That can be useful. And you may decide you're going to do the same thing yourself. All right. For example, I may not want a white background. I may want a black background. I might want white letters instead of black letters. We learned in this room that it's easier to see if it's a black background with white letters instead of a white background with black letters. See, But one of the things you want to get used to before you do it too much is you want to come up again to the view menu, and you want to take a look at your slide master. You can get off of your normal view and come over here to your slide master view. And this is where you can kind of create some a new template. You can save it as a new template. You can create a new design. This is where you can change your master styles. You can edit your master style type. You can edit what you want your different levels to look like we did with the outlining in Microsoft Word. All right. You can change how you want a title slide to look like, where maybe you don't want the title to look like that, or the subtitle to look like that, or footer and date and those things to be there. Okay. I don't do a ton on these things. But if I've got a title and content, I might want to change those things. Anyway, this is where you can kind of change your templates in different ways. I usually don't edit a whole lot other than here, the master slide. All right. And I will tend to come here and make my fonts Cardo. All right. Just so that I don't have to do more of that when I get to the point itself. So I can click here and edit this master style and select that whole text. And I want to make that Cardo instead of Calibri. I don't like Calibri. I want to use Cardo. There we go. Same thing here. I'm going to select all of these. Control A for select all, by the way. And Control Shift F for font. And I'm going to do Cardo for my complex scripts font. And Cardo for my Latin text font. There we go. Regular font style, that's fine. And click OK. So now I've got Cardo everywhere. All right. Cardo in my titles, Cardo in my body. I should be good. And when you're done with all that, come back here to Slide Master and let's close the... we can edit the theme too, but let's go ahead and close there. Close the master view. Now you'll notice when I add a title like Learning to Use PowerPoint, notice the font is Cardo. All right? Because that's what I selected in my master slide. The master slide controls how other things happen here. All right? There's other things you can do. You can right click here and you can format the background. You know what? I want to do a color, the fill color. Maybe I want to change my whole theme colors, but let's just go with black. All right. My text, I want to be white. This is probably more than I want to get into tonight, but next week we'll practice some more, okay, about redoing the color schemes. Let me reset. Close. Color schemes. How about under design, not themes, colors. Here we go, colors. Here's some built-in colors, some built-in schemes. The fonts. All right. Maybe it's better if we did it on the master slide, now that I'm thinking about it. So again, view, and where is it? There it is, slide master, all right? And here we go, colors. Here's how we're going to do it. Create new theme colors, and we're going to call this whatever we want to call it. Give it a name. Instead of custom one, we're going to call it P. Bob Dark. All right, and so here's where we're going to select all the text backgrounds, accents, hyperlinks, all these things for our theme colors. So text and background, dark, we'll make it black. make our text white. If you want a second color, you can make it blue and white. I don't really use those. Accent one, hyperlinks. If you don't want hyperlinks to be blue, you can leave hyperlinks as white. You can't, unfortunately, cancel out the underline. That bugs me to death. A followed hyperlink, we can leave that white. Maybe you like changing the color of your text with a hyperlink. I just like leaving all my text white. All right. We'll make that. We can leave that alone. We'll do that. There we go. There, I think we're going to like that a lot better. And again, close master view, and now we're saved. And notice, this is going to be on every slide. I'm not going to have to do this over and over and over again. But if no one tells you how to find your slide master view, you're in for months and years of frustration. All right? Slide master view. That's going to be a big help for you. Notice you hear it's called, the theme name is called Office Theme, and we can save it and call it make it a custom theme. We'll call it P-Bob Dark and things like that. But anyway. Or, if you never want to use that other Office Theme again, just leave it like that. Use the Office Theme, okay? So, I want to make a new slide. Well, what kind of slide do I want? Okay? Do I want a title slide? Do I want a title and content? Do I want a section header? A title only? Blank? Honestly, most of what I do, I start with a blank slide. Okay? I don't do a lot of the other stuff. I start with a blank slide, then I come up here to the toolbar, and I'm going to insert a text box, and I'm going to come here, and I'm going to insert a text box, like so, and I'm going to go with that. There's my text box. All right? I don't need all the other bells and whistles, all the other stuff they're doing. I just want to put my text there. Okay? And in my text box, I'm going to start with, let's see here, I'm going to do, here's what I'm going to do. This. Introduction and definitions. I'm going to copy and I'm going to paste. Just like that. Okay? And that should be Cardo. It's not Cardo. It should be. Why did it not do Cardo? Should be. I'm going to have to change another aspect on my master slide. So, view, slide master. Blank slide, something with text boxes, picture, nope, text styles, is that not Cardo? It should be Cardo, yep. Huh, okay, well, sorry about that. Drawing tools. Yes, if you want. Huh. All right, well, I'll close that. That's not as... Let's see, this is why I need to do more training myself. All right, so let's select all that. Let's come here to Cardo. I want to make it as a minimum... I want to do 36, okay? For some of the subpoints, I'll do 28. For Bible verses, I'll do 24, but I don't want to get much smaller than that, okay? Also, I want to position this at the top of my slide. I'm going to right-click here and format my shape. Size, here we go. Text box. All right. I don't want to resize the shape to fit the text. That's going to constantly resize it. I don't want to do that. So I am going to go to Do Not Auto Fit. Here we go. And then to size, I want to make it, I'm going to keep it 10 inches wide, and I'm going to go large. I'm going to go large, and I'm going to go all the way down to 6.5 inches. All right. Why do I go to 6.5 inches? Why don't I go to 7.5 inches? My slide is 7.5 inches by 10 inches. All right. And in fact, I really couldn't even make it widescreen. I should make it widescreen because we've got a widescreen projector. But the point is, I leave this bottom blank. You know why? Because I don't want to go so low on the wall that my big fat head is blocking the view of people that are sitting down there. All right? So if I force my text box to be that dimension, then I'm never going to drop it too low. I'm going to constantly leave that bottom open. And sometimes I put little buttons in there. I do other things with it. But generally speaking, this is my basic slide. It's a text box. It's a text box that is 10 inches wide by 7.5 inches tall, and it's aligned to the top of the slide. And I leave that strip across the bottom, I leave it blank. And I leave it blank specifically so that I don't put stuff in there. All right, now, I do not do the automatic. It bugs me to death. So if I do Roman numeral 1 and tab, there we go. Okay, and then hit enter. It's going to start to do that. All right. And if it starts to do things I don't like, I'm going to have to come up here and I'm going to have to work with it. It's not as complicated as Word. It's much more simple than Word. And so I find that I don't fight it. I just do what I can do with it and let it go. All right. But I'm manually doing it. You'll notice when I come back here and I go, okay, now I need to do an A, a B, a C. When I come in here now to do my A, you'll notice when I selected the text, it's not selecting the A. It's only selecting the text. Okay? So Control C to copy. I come here and it's ready to insert it as a 2. I don't want to insert it as a 2. I'm going to backspace. Now I'm going to paste. And now I've got my text. Okay? Now, I don't like that text. That looks horrible. So, thankfully, there's this control thing that opened up here. And for my paste options, I don't want to use the destination theme. I want to keep the source formatting, which is a K. Keep the source formatting. All right? That'll keep it in Cardo. That'll keep it in proportional sizing. That'll keep it the way I like it. All right? And keeps it as an A there. Where is my... So I learned very quickly, every time I paste something and this little control thing comes up here, I learn to use it. All right? And I usually don't use my mouse. I usually just hit the control button on my keyboard and then hit K for keep source formatting, and I'm good. All right. Now, I may have to adjust the size, and I may also have to... Oh, I know why. I don't see my ruler. View. Where's my ruler? I want a ruler. There we go. Rulers are good. I like rulers. All right. I need to increase my little deal here. Whoops. So let's grab that guy. There we go. And I'm just manipulating on the ruler there. Do you see that? By manipulating on the ruler there, I'm structuring the format of this point here. Okay? Same thing if I go up here to introduction and definitions. I'm looking at that saying, you know, that's kind of a wide gap. Let's come up here to my toolbar, to my ruler, and let's shrink that down. Let's do half inch. Okay? It just depends. Sometimes if it's larger text, maybe I want a larger. Do I want a full inch? Probably not a full inch. Half inch is usually good. Maybe 3/4 of an inch. Okay? Now, that's too small. Let's go ahead and make that a 28 point. All right. And now it's more readable, all right? I'm out of time. We're going to have to do more of this next week. There's some other little quirks you're going to learn, especially if you do a lot of Hebrew text. You're going to learn, you know what, why is there not a space in between the bereath and the bereath, okay? Well, there is, but You just have to make it go left to right instead of right to left. And there you have it. So you start learning about those little quirks. You start to learn that, you know, that doesn't need to be 28 point. I can really shrink that down to 18 point. All right. And then 28 point, that's good for those. So things like that. Anyway, it's a little tedious. It's manual. But you need more practice with it. So I'll share more practice with that next week. All right. So let me just save this as learn to use PowerPoint, and we'll save it there. That way I'll have it available next week. And then this one I'm going to save. Well, I already have that one. That's my Old and New Covenants document. Yeah. Yeah. Keep the format. Control K. Every time you paste, well, see what's going to happen. When it pastes, it's going to try to use the theme of the slideshow you're working with. Don't do that. Just keep formatting. It's a control K. It's control V to paste, and then control K. I'll show that again to you next week. Yeah. Yeah. Of course, you only have 2 more weeks on rotation. But next time, all right? Yeah. All right. Thank you, Father, for tonight, for this time together. Continue to bless these classes. I thank you in Christ's name. Amen.